waking up white in the middle of the room. Had me sitting in Elmira in the middle of June. Damn. Where I'm from, niggas is fool, lest they pick up a tool. I even got it on me when I pick my kids up from school.
All right, shit. Welcome to another episode of the new Rory and Maul podcast. I am Maul. I'm Rory. And we are sitting here today in Atlanta with somebody who I've been dying to talk to because at one time we were really, really good friends, man. And I don't even get a phone call no more. I don't get texts no more. This nigga done blew up, been around the world twice.
Texas are green now?
Yeah, nah, this is my family.
Texas went green with Benny?
This is my guy. I'm just, you know, so happy that we are able to link up here in Atlanta today for a special, special episode. We with my guy, my family, my brother, Benny the Butcher. What's up, family?
My boys, man. What's happening?
What's going on, man?
For real, man. And stop that, man. You know, we close.
I will say, times
have changed, Benny. I feel like I could get a hold of you a lot easier before, too. I don't know, man.
Listen, don't get it twisted. I'm happy, though. You know, this is what I always wanted for you.
For y'all.
Yeah, no, hey. I always wanted this for you, bro. You know, from day one, man, I knew you was a star. I'm just happy to be, you know, able to link up with you and just tell you in person, man. I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you. Good to see you. Look good.
Right.
You're still talking your shit. Every time I hear you talking, I smile. I'm like, okay, he's still sharp. As long as you stay sharp, I don't give a
fuck.
That's it. If I don't never hear from you, every time I hear you, I want to hear you talk that shit.
Nah, man, you're going to hear from me. You're my dog, man.
Yeah.
I always like to say this, man, that when you played that record that day, I was living in the projects, man. You know what I'm saying? I could buy
Dirty
that
Needles.
Motherfucker now.
Dirty right, Needles right. off my first
right.
break
that's a fact.
On the old podcast that we did.
Mm-hmm.
That's when, you know, I think it started for me. And when I heard that from you, I mean, everything that you are, your success dope, today, dope. I knew
you still
was
not.
Headed.
You still not A&R'ing? You not doing that?
You know what it is, man? I just feel like now, you know, you try to. I like when it's an organic thing.
Mm-hmm, I get
like with me and you, it was organic. Like I heard your music. We had never met before that. I heard the My First Brick tape and I played the record. And then from that point on, you and I connected on a personal level, came to Harlem by the crib, smoked, drank, talked shit. And we just developed a bond since then. So a lot of these artists now feel like it's hard to connect to them on that level, man, because they feel they come in feeling like they know everything already. Mm-hmm. Like you cut from a different cloth. You know what I'm saying? Now a lot of these young artists, they're young. They're 19, 20, 21 years old. They feel like they know everything. You can't tell them nothing because they got however many followers on social media and shit like that. It's like, all right, man, you got it.
And I see so many of our listeners are always like, you know, Maul should be A&R, Maul should be a manager, sign these acts, all that. I'm like, all right, so you want Maul to have a whole new career. Like, I don't think people realize like the time and effort it takes to like really sign an artist and what that shit takes. So like,
it's
I
draining.
Love that we could just put artists on that we like and interview them, play their music, like no strings attached.
Hopefully they like it.
Exactly.
If we like it, we like it.
Just rather do stuff like that, man.
Yeah.
Just dealing, cause it's
and if you
draining.
Need me, if you need my help,
I'm willing to.
You know what I'm saying? Like if somebody reach out, I'm like, yo, bro, can you introduce me to this person? Can you help me with this? How should I go about this? I'm always willing to do that for just off the strength if I believe in somebody. And Benny, obviously, he know what it is between him and I.
Yeah, just free merch. That's all I need.
Yeah, so we need some free merch. Man, send me some merch. Every time you drop some shit, just send me a pack.
Yo,
man.
I got, oh, y'all done. I got stuff down here too.
All right, good.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Because anytime I've ever asked for any merch, Derek has hit me with a link and say, yo, you could buy it here.
Yeah, that's how I go. That's how they do me.
All right, so I don't feel bad.
No.
If you got to go through that, I don't feel bad.
I'd rather get it off the link because if you're trying to get it from Wes, he gonna give it to you when he feel like it.
Oh yeah, I never get
that shit when
him.
The new drop is out.
Right, or what he think you should have.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, like he might do a drop, he might do three drops and don't give you nothing.
Yeah,
the next one he be like, yo, Buzz, pull up, I got something for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're like, man, I wanted that. The mother things though, and that's when he sent me the link.
Yeah,
that's funny. Well, we down here for Hip Hop Awards. You're nominated Lyricist of the Year.
Fire.
Mo and I were a little critical, I think, of that category.
Not too critical, but critical.
I feel like. It's just not all lyricists in there or lyricists for the time in which the year cycle should be.
I get it. You know what I'm saying?
They moved the goalposts a little bit. We all love Ho, but goddamn. Ho worked one day out the year.
Right.
And he nominated, but you know, we understand what that's
about. They want to include the big homie in everything.
Yeah, but Ho, it's not fair. It's not fair to y'all, because it's like, my nigga, that's Ho, bro.
Exactly.
Like we can't keep. He's lyricist of the fucking lifetime. You know
what somebody
and he didn't put anything out in the year except for maybe the push verse.
Yo, somebody actually was like, "Yo, you think you could have wrote a better verse?" They fucking with me. They like, "You think you could have wrote a better verse than on a God did than Hov. I'm like, Hov lived too long and seen too much and did too much for anybody to write a better version. Yeah. It's the content.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's, he get crazy with the content. So
what's your relationship with Khaled? I've always found it interesting with the last two Khaled albums that Griselda wasn't even brought up or part of it. Because I feel like Khaled is tapped in not just with, you know, whatever's on Billboard at the time, but...
I don't have a relationship with Khaled. I met him one time. It was Grammy weekend. I was going inside a party. He was coming out. But he said, it's like, yo, I love what you're doing. Congratulations. He told me congratulations. Yeah. I'm like, damn, telling me congratulations. Mm-hmm. And I told him the same thing. But, man, I'm a fan, definitely a fan. I love what he's doing. He do everything at a high level. Mm-hmm. And everybody want that. You know, it's like an all-star game. Everybody want that call up, you know what I'm saying, from Khaled. When he was putting them records together, I just want to win. I mean, all them joints, them kind of records back then. So, you
know. We did an episode with DJ Drama.
Mm-hmm.
And
I seen that.
Drama's
getting spicy around here. Drama's not playing.
Well, you know what it is?
I like the newfound spice that Drama has.
You know what
I like him talking shit.
He feels like he has to because nobody is acknowledging him as much as they should probably. Mm-hmm. And Drama's a fucking legend.
And I agree with that.
Yeah, like sometimes you have to... Not ring your own bell, but you gotta like pause. That sounds crazy, but not. You can't be humble like too long because then it's easy for them to forget about you and push you to the side.
Exactly.
And it's like, yo, do y'all know what this dude been doing the last 20 years? Like he's been doing a lot. So right now, where you're at with Benny the Butcher, the artist, what would mean more to you, a Gangsta Grill or a DJ Khaled album feature?
I would have to say, you know, that's me. I can answer that literally. Like, you got to step in and get your Gangsta Grills. Mm-hmm. You got to. I done that. I did the Black Soprano Family Gangsta Grills, and I want my own Gangsta Grills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every rapper wants a Gangsta Grills.
Mm-hmm.
The same way you want to get that call up.
Yeah.
But you got to come in. You see Simba coming in with his Gangsta Grills.
Yeah.
We see when them dedications.
Yeah.
Wayne was letting you know, like, no, I'm on my body, like I'm
different.
I'm different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when you get them Gangsta Grills, it's like, no, I'm different.
Mm-hmm.
Beanie Siegel, I'm different.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who done those, Gucci Mane, I'm different.
Right.
So it's like, you gotta get that. Mm-hmm. You might start with the Gangsta Grills to let them know, like, I'm different, but you wanna finish off with that Khaled, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I think they is in the culture, they equal as important, but you got to get that Gangsta Grills first.
Right? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For you even jumping that race for the Cali. You know what I mean?
As much as I love to see how Gangsta Grills has aged and progressed, like with Tyler doing that on his album and everything, streaming did kind of fuck up one of my favorite parts of Gangsta Grills, though. Like, I would love a Gangsta Grills tape with you where you rap on everyone else's beats. We just can't do that shit anymore because streaming, you have to get everything.
It's terrible,
cleared.
Man. Everything called an EP, album, and these is mixtapes.
Right.
You know what I mean? You got to name them different. Like, it's crazy, man.
It is all the same. Are you going to go to the actual awards?
Yeah, I'm going. I'm going.
Do you think if Jack Harlow wins, he'll do the Macklemore Kendrick thing and text you and say you should have got it?
I don't think so, man. You know, Jack, he a classy dude. He a seasoned guy, man. I like him, and I think he deserve everything. I think he deserve everything he gonna get. But I'm trying to win too, though. So. You know what I mean?
We sat and talked with Conway a few months ago, and you know, we asked the question, like, listen, man, like, you know, I know what some of those, you know, fake LOL tweets about the family and the team and. You know, Wes and Benny kicked me out the car, all that shit.
Right,
like,
right, right.
I know, first and foremost, y'all are family. So, you know, that's first and foremost. But where does Griselda stand today as far as just the chemistry, the business? Like, where is it at? Is it somewhere where everyone you feel is on the same page? Is it conversations that y'all are not having that y'all probably should have? Like, where is the crew? Where is the fellas at today?
This what I'm going to say. You know what I mean? Like, you see, we just did Rolling Loud.
Mm-hmm.
Each of us had a different day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Griselda never been a group.
Mm.
We never been a group. That's why it's called Griselda Records.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who you announce by the record label name? Mm-hmm. Do you call them like, Young Money, Cash Money? You call them by their names or you call them who they were.
Mm-hmm.
When they first came out, it was West Side Gunna Conway.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. They was booked for the festivals. Westside Gunna Conway. They doing shows. Westside Gunna Conway. Mm-hmm. I warmed up. Now I would say Griselda Records.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. we don't have a name of the group. That Griselda Records is the label name. Because okay. we never been a group. Mm-hmm. It's just Wes is a curator so much. That's how he ushered Benny in. That's how he ushered Conway in on his songs.
Yeah.
So it sounded like a group. You see what he doing with Michelle Records.
Yeah.
That's what he do. So I think the answer to the question, I think this is just the evolution of what was supposed to happen. Okay. I got my label. Conway got his label. Mm-hmm. Wes got new artists. Mm-hmm. Man, we got to sit up front and learn from Wes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I talk to them boys all the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I was just on the phone with Wes. He was like, yo, me and Conway was kicking it. I'm expecting, I don't know if they want me to say this or not, but we trying to do what she ain't going to do too right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm calling when we leave from here, like, Buzz, what we doing? Because mm-hmm. you know that come with a bag, right?
Right.
So,
anyway, you know
what I mean? Yeah. So, but, you know what I mean? But that's where we at with it.
Okay.
To be honest with you, of course I don't talk as much as with them. Because when I first signed, I moved down here. I lived in a house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't need to live in a house. I got like four of them now on my own shits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, I don't see them as often. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, we don't talk, but I'm definitely tapping in. You see, we put the Black Soprano Family tape out. Mm-hmm. It's important that we get Wes on the intro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm saying giving us his blessing.
Right.
And I'm saying to the newest Black Soprano Family artist. Mm-hmm. You see Conway on there dumping.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying you see...
the Drumwork Festival look crazy too.
You see me at the Drumwork Festival.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we're always going to stay in tune, but the Griselda today is not the Griselda 2017.
Where do you think y'all differ? And I don't mean like in a negative way, but where do y'all differ vision-wise moving forward? Because I'm sure probably in the beginning... It was a similar vision of mm-hmm. just getting the three y'all on as much as you could. Mm. How has things shifted as far as what Wes wants to do, what Conway wants to do, and what you want to do?
I think Wes' vision is to push his envelope with the fashion and with the wrestling. Well, I know that's his vision. I talked to him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what he want to do, the wrestling thing. Crazy. That's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He about to have his own thing. Now, he could do it right now today, but he's so much of a perfectionist.
Yeah.
He just taking everything in. He can mm-hmm. he could throw an event right now today and it'd be big. But
yeah.
He just putting it together. Mm-hmm. And the fashion, the wrestling. I think Conway, me and him, it's like kind of more the same vision. We wanna rap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We wanna rap. Wes wanna curate. You wanna curate the wrestling events. You wanna curate the fashion. You wanna curate other artists' albums. Mm-hmm. Me and Conway, we still wanna rap. We still got that chip on our shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Are we ever gonna get the Spurs album?
Damn, that's a good idea. Hell yeah.
Hey, listen, man, who do you think you're sitting here talking to today?
Hey, maybe you should be A&R.
Hey, A&R, what is you doing?
Listen, man.
What is you doing?
I'm right here. Like, what you, let's do it.
Mall at BlackSoprano.com.
We always said the Benny and Conway album, but if we call that the Spurs album, and you just come up with shit like that, just sitting here, huh?
Yeah.
I like that, man.
Because I'm sitting here, like, you know, I hear the records. I always listen to this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I understand how it's so many different things that y'all have going on as individuals. I get mm-hmm. that. And it's beautiful as y'all creating opportunities, y'all creating different avenues, different streams of income. It's beautiful. But, you know, I remember before it got too busy, shit that would have been dope. And it's like,
right.
When is that going to happen? Because now it's a lot more shit to talk about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a lot more energy. It's a lot. You know, it's so many things have happened. And I'm all about timing. Everything mm-hmm. is time. And so,
but you're right. It's time for that. Yeah. I think it's time for that too. That's why we're talking about the What Was Shane Gonna Do 2 album, because, like, at all three of us at our height, it's time to drop the album. It's time to form like Voltron.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't wait till, you know how niggas usually wait till they cool off and then you're on a reunion? Man, hell no.
Right.
Let's, like, while we at our height right now, let's come together, form like Voltron, put all that solo career shit aside, mm-hmm. and let's go. But they on point with that though. That's about to happen. Like,
okay. Well, then I'll also ask the difference in vision sound wise, because I feel mm-hmm. like you've been the one out of the group or label that has drifted away from the typical what we call Griselda sound,
right,
where it be Derringer, Alchemist, that crew, you know, the no drums jokes on Twitter and all that.
I like the new podcast, man. Y'all asking good shit, man. you and your journalist shit.
It's different.
You know why? I think because we familiar with each other.
Exactly.
Each other. This shit people won't ask me.
Mm.
This shit they won't want to ask me.
Because
they
won't
ask me that.
When you put out the Hit-Boy shit, I was like, oh, I know the Griselda fans because I'm one, but not the way like your core is.
Right.
I'm like, they about to killed it. Even though I love this album, it doesn't sound like Griselda.
Exactly.
It sounds like Hit-Boy and somebody that could really rap. Mm-hmm. And I know those fans. I've been in them shows. They want Derringer, Alchemist, Benny, Conway, Westside.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that like? And is that something you could even see going into doing a group project that Conway and West would want to even do it, experiment sound-wise? Not to say that they but it is very much the Griselda sound, whereas Hit-Boy wasn't.
I think so, because I think that when the What Machine Gun do, because West talked to me about that, and he was like, yeah, we need that Griselda sound on there also with a more fuller sound. When we say Griselda, the Griselda as of today, he got songs with Travis Scott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Conway got songs with Jay and Kiss on the soundtrack of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying I'm doing joints with Cole and just, I'm so like the Griselda today is going to be a wider sound to me, if you ask me. So we're going to be getting in the studio with all type of people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Pushing and pulling and pause. Mm-hmm. You fucking hear me say that.
We're in Atlanta, so I,
the fuck,
anything goes.
I mean, but just trying to, you know, trying different sounds.
Yeah.
But you, like you say, I'm more of the type of person, when I get in a studio with somebody, I let them drive. Like, yo, Benny, I hear you on this. Because I don't want to get in the studio with Hit-Boy. I don't want to get in the studio with Mike Will Made.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mike Will Made it. Who, any of these guys, and they play something, and I'm like, nah, I can't do it. Like, I'm rapping to anything.
Yeah.
This is what I do. Yeah. We talk about how it come out at the end, and some of them songs done been legend.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Some of them songs done been like a Sly Green or a Fight of 50 when I'm getting here and I'm trying different things. They work for me.
Did the Hit-Boy sessions and just that project in general kind of shift your mind as far as the type of beats that you want to rap on?
Hell yeah. I can't lie. Hell yeah, because I got a broader audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Who don't want to do that? Like me, I'm a hustler. You know, these people got to remember I'm a hustler.
Mm-hmm.
I've been rapping trap rap.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I held it down. I've been doing that. But we got the money doing a Griselda thing. You know what I'm saying? So now we did that. We still doing it, but if it's more money to be got, you know, a nigga going to chase that bag. I got kids to feed. I'm not worried about, you know what I'm saying, bullshit.
And as much albums that y'all put out per year, just the three, do you think maybe the Griselda sound, as much as we've proven how successful it is, hold y'all back at all if you continue with it?
I don't think it holds us back at all. I think people think that.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be apprehensive to, you know what I'm saying, to work with us. They might be apprehensive. You know, the Super Bowl coming up, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm signed to Roc Nation. So my manager's hit me. It's like, yo, the Super Bowl coming up. We got parties and everything. So we pitching you for some of them.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't get them. You know what I'm saying? They might feel like, you know, he like a street rapper, underground rapper. But We brought from Buffalo. We from Buffalo, New York. We brought that from Buffalo to underground to where we at today. I think it can go further.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It just, you know, people sleep on it. They not sure yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What happened to the Drake record? Because you had Let Me Hear Something a while ago.
I don't think it's coming out because I don't know. It's like a clearing issue. Man, I don't know.
Is it on his?
Do you think it's
like
on the Drake end? Because I've heard
like,
it.
Listen, we here to talk, man. You listen. We not doing that. We not doing that today, my nigga. I need to know, man.
It fuck can't all be a song thing because I've heard it multiple times. And Drake smoked the shit, and you smoked the shit. So what's the problem?
What I can't say, man. Drake did hit me up. I was like, yo, when we dropping it? Like he called me up, like he was on me. That was a while ago, though.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know. You know what I mean? You know, things happen. So last I heard, my managers was trying to get the. Was trying to talk to his peoples and trying to get it clear. I think it just slowed up. I don't know. You know what I mean? He doing what he doing. I'm doing what I'm doing. You know what my problem is? I told the world about the record. I was excited to work with Drake. I told the world about the record.
As you should about. I understand.
No, real
got
shit.
A fucking Drake
real
feature.
Shit,
it's crazy.
Real shit. And, you know, I'm going to holler at Def Jam like, man, get this clear. What we doing?
I mean, but do you take any of that personal? Because I know plenty of artists that have done... features and shit, and then the label won't clear it, but the artist will be like, oh, that rapper probably told their label not to clear that shit. Did you take any of that personal or even reach out to Drake like, hey, what the fuck? Is this a universal thing?
Yo, hell no. I could never take... No, this is real shit, though. I could never take none of that personal because, like, it's fucking Drake. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's the biggest artist in the world. So even for him to acknowledge me, even for him to send me a verse and an open track like, yo, let's kill that. Mm-hmm. And he really sent me two.
Mm. Right.
That's what I'm in it for. You know, niggas gonna get money.
Yeah.
It's about the acknowledgement, the respect amongst my peers.
Right.
The acknowledgement from the biggest artists in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They're like, yo, Benny, let's get on something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, timing is everything. And I believe that's something that could be revisited. And it's only a topic because people want to hear Drake with the Butch.
Yeah.
People want to hear it. Yeah. People want to know how that sound. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So they want to hear Drake rap with the rappers.
But why it, like, you know why I like
that? And they want to hear the underground people shine with the stars.
Yeah. Why I like that record is because I felt you went into Drake's world as far as how that beat is.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, I feel like even like when Wes works with Tyler, like y'all bring the artists into the Griselda world, which we want to hear. We want to hear Tyler on some shit that is the Griselda sound. I wish y'all would go more into other people's world to really show that type of shit. Because I know y'all so self-contained. You don't need to do shit. Let's bring everyone to our world. It's our shit. But that's why I thought that Drake record was so important. Outside of the feature.
Exactly.
You got Benny on those type of Drake beats we love, like the timestamp type records.
Right. Mm-hmm. People want to see that. People want to see that because they want to know, could we switch it up? Mm-hmm. And we can switch it up. You know what I'm saying? But they want to see that. You know what I mean?
And even like with the Cole record, and I mean, it's not even a conversation, but they're going to be mad if we don't ask it. Why did people think Cole was talking to you in his verse? I don't understand why. But that was a big thing on the internet. They was like, yo, Cole going at Ben. I'm like, I don't think he's going at Benny in his verse.
But rappers have done that, though.
For sure.
No, you know, rappers.
We got a whole Cannabis LL beef.
rappers have done that. And, you know, he say things like that on a song like, Jesus asked for a feature. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But we all do that. You know, that's the nature of a rapper.
Yeah.
You know, and I think fans are just, they just read into everything. And they want him to be saying something to me on the record. You know what I mean? Like, that make it juicier for them.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, I don't know, man. Cole, he one of the most solid rappers I met in this shit.
Solid individuals, yeah.
You know what I mean? To be honest with you.
Did he reach out to you or you reached out to him?
I reached out to him.
Okay.
I reached out to him because I felt like that was the next step for me. I want to rap with the rappers. Same thing with the Drake record.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with my record with Pusha T. Same thing with my record with Black Thought. Same thing. I want a Kendrick record. Mm-hmm. I want a Jay-Z record. Mm-hmm. I want to rap with the rappers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? So I reached out to him. I went to one of his shows in Detroit. I was on tour at the same time. Link kicked it with him. Took a picture with me and the homeboys. He posted the picture. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just Instagram and internet. But, you know, guys like that don't have to share their platform.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? 9 times out of 10, you see guys like that sharing their platform with people who could help them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to get J. Cole no more followers. Right. I'm not going to get him no more streams.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? So it's dope to see that. That's inspiring to me. That'll have me like go reach down to somebody like, yo, let's do this record.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing, bruh, he easily do that.
But you feel like you have to, outside of your actual personal taste, you want to rap with the rappers. I feel like y'all would sound great with people like Uzi, people like the younger kids that are making not so lyrical miracle type rap, as the
right,
fans
right,
would put
right,
it.
Right, right.
You guys feel like you can't do that type of shit?
Nah, we can. We're going to do that, man. We can and we're going to do that. It's just that I think it's just the hip hop in us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
It's all good to do everything else, but I want to see where I stand in the ring with the guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the guy from Buffalo. It's no bigger in hip hop than what we are from our city. We are those guys. So, you know, a large part of the culture, the cult following, Griselda following, want to see how we go with those guys. And that's how I'll do. But I love working with, man, I got so many records that's about to come out. Shout out to Tay Cobain. Me and him got a record. Shout out to, you heard the Money Man record, the record with me and Money Man. I'm on Herbo, new album, you know what I'm saying? I got a record with Mulatto and Cash Doll, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I love doing those type of records, but, and I like to get busy, you know what I'm saying? I need that feeling in my bones, man. I'm from the 90s era of music.
What's an artist that Benny the Butcher listens to that his fans would be absolutely fucking amazed that he even knows who that artist is? Like, you be in the crib, like, cause niggas think you in the crib just listening to the most toughest, grimiest shit. Like,
that's not
you
true.
Got Adele playing in the crib, my nigga. Mm-hmm. Like,
I don't got Adele playing in the crib, but I'm listening to, like, I'm an old school nigga. I'm listening to Sade.
Okay.
I'm listening to John B.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I might lead a club, Rowdy Knight. I might lead a strip. Rowdy night. You know, it gets rowdy in them places.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm riding home. I'm listening to the Commodores.
Yeah, yeah. Yo, it's funny. Every like real lyrical rapper I know doesn't listen to lyrical rap ever. Yeah, they all listen to R&B shit
all day, man. I can't be inspired.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can't be inspired if I'm just listening to that genre of music. What else? I listen to ESTG.
Yeah,
Pooh Shiesty. Mm-hmm. Of course, Dirk?
Kodak.
I'm listening to Dirk. Yak. I'm on that Yak. Future. Mm-hmm. Gunna. You know, that's what I'm really listening to all the mm-hmm. time. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Same thing everybody else listens to. You know what I'm saying?
Since we're around the corner from the Mercedes-Benz Theater and Kanye's been going fucking nuts lately, were you involved in any of those Kanye sessions? I know he was posting Griselda stuff at one point.
I wasn't in there. I went to one studio. It was a studio session, but we didn't record nothing. Mm. I spent most of my time in Wyoming just kicking it with Psy.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That was worth it.
For sure.
But, man, I know Conway spent a lot of time over there. And West
Conway's been writing.
Conway, he's been doing something over there. He's been doing something.
What was the Wyoming situation like for you?
Man, it was dope, man. It was just, Ye got the whole compound. Mm-hmm. It was donkeys and lamb shit just walking around. Mm-hmm. He got them funny trucks and shit you be seeing him driving. Mm-hmm. Them shits would be lined up and with the keys already in them. Mm-hmm. Walking past like, yo, I want to drive some shit like that. They like, go. Like, the keys is in there. Yeah. I'm like, man, I ain't touching that shit.
That's a liability.
I ain't touching your shit.
I'm not driving that shit at all.
You know what I'm saying? Man, I woke up the next morning and Havoc was there. That was mm-hmm. my first time meeting Havoc. Mm. In the studio with Havoc, and it's like, yeah, he got the people, and I didn't stay on a compound. I stayed at a hotel. He got the people like running in the Raptors, like picking you up. They constantly picking people up and dropping them off, like at a landing, like at the airport, mm. private planes and shit like mm-hmm. that. So it's like a little city.
What type of town? Like, I gotta know what those hotels was thinking when Kanye moved there and just started had flying Griselda out there.
Seeing Benny come to the front desk if I'm working in Wyoming and you walk to the front desk looking like this, oh my God, what the fuck?
Like the diner in town must have been crazy.
That got to be crazy if you've seen that, you know what I mean? But he got his own little city, if you ask me. Mm.
No, that's what's up. How many artists at the Wyoming session that was there did you feel like, damn, I really want to work with this dude? Like, I've always wanted to work with him. Like, meeting Havoc. I'm pretty sure at one point
that was it. It was like, damn, Hav. Mm-hmm. Like, here we go. Like, shit, say something to him. Like, get a beat from him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But it was Hav and definitely Psy, man, just kicking it with him. You know what I mean? He that's where I get all my game from, people who've been in the game longer than me. So mm-hmm. just picking his brain, and he played his album for me. Mm-hmm. I played my album for him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay. You know what I'm saying?
Is that a route the way Psy, again, is one of our favorite lyrical rappers, but he's a great writer with other shit as well. And I think typically lyricists are the best writers. Would you ever write for somebody, not even in some hip hop shit? Like,
yeah, of course. Of course. I could do things like that. Of course. You know what I mean? If the opportunity presents itself, I've done things like that before, but not like an artist stepping to me. You know what I'm saying? I've done that for like, you know, it's crazy, man. I wrote a song for like, I shouldn't even be saying this. I wrote a song for Pinky. Back in the day, before anybody ever heard of me, she was trying to rap, and I wrote a song.
The porn star?
The porn star?
I did.
All right, we about to have a whole different conversation.
I did.
No. I'm glad I asked that cliche-ass question.
I did.
Because we got a crazy fucking... All right, hold on.
I did.
No. Let's start from the beginning. Yeah, from the beginning. How did you meet Pinky?
No. And why did you meet Pinky? No, listen. First of all, what's the first bar? I need to know how Pinky was coming on the track. Like, what was the first bar?
Ma, I didn't go like that.
Yo.
I didn't go with my city girl shit, Ma.
Remember when they found Biggs references to all the little things going on?
You said it. I never even knew about this.
That's why I didn't want to say it.
That's why niggas can't be open and vulnerable, because the niggas start making fun of them.
Real shit, but I made sure.
And we're going to find the dat. No, somebody. Your reference rapping for Pinky.
Now I never met Pinky, right? And I was like, what if I ever meet
her? This is her heyday. This is when she's lit. Oh, she's so lit, she want to rap. Everything I'm saying, it's her heyday. Anything.
Yeah. What year was this?
This is like, I want to say 2008.
Okay.
Ooh, that was Slim Pinky.
You know what I mean?
This was the Cat Stacks era.
Slim Pinky?
Yep. DVD era.
Yeah.
Type of things. You know what
okay,
I'm saying?
Okay, so Pinky wanted to rap. Who connected who of like, yo, my man could rap, he'll write your shit.
Cheddar DVD. Remember Cheddar DVD?
Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah.
From Boston. Mm-hmm. So he was doing a piece with her, and they brought it up, and he was like, "I know just the person to write it. You know, that's my homeboy."
Okay.
He was like, "I know just the person to write it," and he called me.
How did you feel that he said those words? "I know just the person to write you a verse, Pinky." I would might have been offended.
Nah, it wasn't like that. It's just that he knew he could call, he knew I probably was the best rapper. He knew who could do something like that. Mm-hmm. Me, I always was malleable. Okay. Basically, like I was always like, I mean, easy to work with. So when they first came, so I'm thinking like, how could that work? And they just told me, it's like, you don't got to go all the way. Just be, I mean, just write some shit. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Cause if I got to talk that dumb shit, like I can't do it. But I just wrote a record. I kind of think I wrote it too lyrical for it, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've interviewed and just talked with amazing
real,
legendary
I got,
writers.
I wrote a record. You got motherfucking Pinky spitting like Talib Kweli. Real shit.
I know a lot of writers say when they have to write for somebody, they research them, they really get to know them, they try to understand their lifestyle. Like, what type of research did you do to understand Pinky to write?
I was familiar with her.
Like, before you got to the studio, he was like, all right, let me refresh my memory on what Pinky does.
But you know what I did, though? When I met her, and then I just, you know, she was fly, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I think it was her husband or boyfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. Probably still is now. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Me and him had the same first name, Jeremy. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So he was a fly nigga too. So mm-hmm. I added that. I made it about that shit like okay. that. You know what I'm saying?
That's funny. It never came out though, right?
Obviously, we would have heard that shit.
Man.
I never heard a Pinky
record. But how would you know if you would have, you know what I'm saying?
No, I wouldn't have known it was you, but we would have heard a Pinky record. I don't think
we would have heard a Pinky record.
Yeah,
I don't think it ever came out. The thing about it is, to be honest with you, I think I wrote it too lyrical for her. And the way it came out, they was like, ugh.
Do you remember any bars from it?
No, I don't, my nigga.
He's lying.
I think he's lying,
I know
too.
Who you lying.
I don't remember no bars from this shit, man.
Oh, man.
I got to Google it, man, or look for it.
That's some funny
shit. I doubt it's out there, but that's a crazy story, man.
I think at some point, maybe we might need a Pinky Benny.
Man, I got
record.
Paid like 8 bones for that, 8 racks.
That's what's up.
Oh, shit. That was, okay.
That's what I'm saying. And like a feature slot on the DVD.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I was about to be on. I was on my way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was on my way.
Imagine Pinky putting you on in the rap game.
That's crazy.
Because I remember, like, Pinky when Max Records. B was fucking around with Roxy Reynolds and shit, there was a time when I feel like porn stars were trying to do the rap thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And rest in peace, that was probably K-Slay in their ear.
Oh, so sure.
You know what I mean? Like, they already got a fan base.
No, that's a fact.
Start
that's
rapping. So out of the young dudes that I've seen on the project, Long Live DJ Shay. Rest in peace, DJ Shay. Sure. I believe that was the last time we sat and spoke with Benny. Shay was in the studio with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was there. He was there with us.
And I believe he passed maybe like a week after that.
Not too long after that.
Yeah. Rest in peace. Good dude.
One of the dudes that I really, really like that I see y'all kind of like putting your arms around and ushering in Stove God.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I hear him, he reminds me a lot of how I felt when I heard you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was certain things that he says and how he says certain things and how slick and witty his bars are. But it's also very unique. Like, it's almost an unorthodox kind of flow that he has. Is that one of the young cats that you look at and you might not be able to, because you got to keep your poker face when, like, the students mm-hmm. is in the room. But is he one of the ones you look at and he says something, you like, God damn, this nigga's nice.
Man, him, Simba... you can't forget Spech, you know what I'm saying? Spech is on a different level.
And we're going to get into y'all history too, Spech.
But yeah, man, I definitely, when people ask me about Stove, I say Stove out of here.
Mm.
He got all the intangibles.
Mm-hmm.
And ain't nothing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
He's out of here. You know what I mean? And me, I always look at myself as like, I'm the one, when you think about it, anybody who's ever on a record with Benny the Butcher, they're rapping at their highest.
Mm-hmm.
I feel good that I bring that to the table because everybody don't bring that to the table.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And there's certain artists who bring that to the table. For me, it's like, okay, this guy bring the best out of me, Conway is special. Mm-hmm. So knowing that, you know what I mean? Like, I've been told that, like, people get on the song with me and they just go crazy. And, you know, Stove just been going crazy, period, mm-hmm. on songs with everybody. But I think, like you said, the dynamic, he remind me of me too. Mm-hmm. So the dynamic of me and him on a song together, like people like that. I think people want to hear me more of me and Stove.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. For sure. As a consumer and a listener, I do.
That's sure. Clearly, like when I hear him, I'm like, oh, people want to get, see, they want to hear how they me and him that. Gonna sound yeah. on the record.
And we don't have to get too much into detail on the Houston incident at all, but how has that changed as far as how you move? And obviously we see everything going on in the rap community with death, shooting, all mm-hmm. that bullshit.
Why is it how so dangerous yeah, to like be a
how,
rapper?
How has your lifestyle changed since then?
Man, my lifestyle changed since then because I'm definitely more cautious about where I'm at. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like me, I don't fear for my life. Mm-hmm. I don't fear, you know what I mean? And maybe that's something I might need to do. Mm-hmm. You yeah. know what I'm saying? But I move like I don't move like I'm in danger. Of course, mm-hmm. I'm not in nobody hood 3 or 4 in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That shit in Houston happened 3:30 in Houston.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? So, but I definitely move like a rapper now, mm-hmm. so to speak. Certain places, I might pull up to the gas station. I might be going in. Niggas might, yo, don't, I'm going in for you. Mm-hmm. I got, you know
right.
what I mean? To me,
right.
What I'm saying is I'm not in the hood. I might be on the road somewhere.
Yeah.
Like niggas like, no. Still, don't get out the car.
Right.
Like me, I didn't know I was don't get out the car famous.
Yeah. You know what yeah. I'm saying? That's a mistake sometimes rappers
no,
make.
No, you know, real shit. You know, this shit do not come with a manual. You know, these people mm-hmm. gave me all this money and nobody introduced me to a banker. Nobody introduced me to, like, okay, call this security dude.
Right.
Nobody introduced me to nobody. Mm-hmm. So, man, I think it's so dangerous. And I think it's so dangerous being a rapper because I talk about this all the time. The lack of people to look up to in our community. So mm-hmm. people glorify rappers. Mm-hmm. Me, I know a difference from a movie in real life. Mm-hmm. We all do. Mm-hmm. A difference from music, art, entertainment in real life. But these people glorify rappers. They on YouTube every day. It's people with YouTube channels who got them shits just basically all talking about rappers critically, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? What they do, what they don't do, antagonizing rappers. Mm-hmm. And niggas like this statement, I remember I was in a club one night and there was this nigga in there and he was like, yeah, you know, he was saying, he looked at me, he looked around, he seen it was bitches in my face, it was niggas, DJ screaming my name out. He looked around, you know what I mean? I looked at him, he looked back around, he was like, man, I got more money than these rappers. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like, that's a goal.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, is that your goal? Have more money than Bill Gates.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Have more money than, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's your goal. Like, people want to, man, I got the rap, smoke rapper weed, smoke red, like,
yeah.
God damn.
Niggas so it's like the rappers at the top of the food chain.
People want to do everything rappers do, but at the same time, they want to antagonize rappers. Man, you bitch ass rap niggas. Rappers don't got this. Man, yeah. Rappers, like, it's like a love-hate relationship that the people have with us. Mm-hmm. They love us so much, they hate us. Mm. I'm saying them same niggas who be running up on niggas, take an autograph. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or it's just that. It's just dangerous, man. You know what I mean? And we 99.99999% of rappers is all from the ghetto. Mm-hmm. And we want to go back.
Right.
And we want to go back. Mm-hmm. Even if we're not back in our ghettos where we're from,
yeah.
We want to connect with people in different
other ghettos yeah.
to show them, like, look what I did. Yeah. I'm like you.
Yeah.
My nigga, I'm from right here.
Yeah.
But we can't even do that.
Right.
Because they coming back and seeing us as fool. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because it's shit is crazy.
It's hard. It's hard out here.
It's popularity and accessibility, I think, at this point. Because, like, even when we was coming up, you only knew about the rappers you liked and you didn't mm-hmm. know where they were, nor mm-hmm. really what they had, unless it was a video or they just rapping a verse.
Yeah.
At this point, they could be just reposted on IG. You'll find out about a new rapper and see what he has. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes food at that point.
Right.
It's just that's too much accessibility. It's too much popularity because somebody could not be a fan or know about a rapper, but they know their IG page and they mm-hmm. know other people like them. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's in LA today?
Real
like
shit.
That type of shit.
Man, and people just broke as fuck, bro.
Yeah.
People broke as fuck. No disrespect. I mean, respectfully, because that used to be me. Mm-hmm. And that's still a lot of people that I know. People broke as fuck. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, rappers, we're in a different world. Right. I might be in a room where I got the less shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm actually in a lot of rooms like that.
Right.
So
that's the rooms you want to be in.
Exactly. But when you go back home and you go back, like, you the apex, niggas are like, God damn, how the fuck did you do it?
Yeah.
Like, bruh, this is nothing. Yeah, you know what I'm right. saying? In our world, this is nothing because people climb into the heights and you mm-hmm. go to the bottom and it, you know what I mean? That people think it, people, some, you might fucking blew 10,000 shopping. You might gave it to your family, son. And it's somebody, and it's people in the hood thinking like, all I need is $10,000 to change my fucking life.
Right.
And I'll never be broke again.
Right. Yeah. You know what that's so what they like, think, at least.
That's what they think. Yeah, they don't know.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, people in the hood is like fucked up.
Yeah.
Which, and you also have to put the psychology of how we all strive for attention now with social media into thievery. Because now it's a stat to rob somebody.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. they could go back and say, you could rob somebody that's rich and nobody know him. It's not mm-hmm. a stat. You got the money, but we've clearly seen that people like attention more than money these days.
Exactly.
You think so now when it's a rapper, somebody, oh, y'all know him, I robbed it, that it becomes
not real shit. An
even bigger.
It's play. Like, hang with this rapper or rob him. What can I get more clout on?
Exactly, which is just a weirdo shit. But you got to really think that attention has gone into the thieves. Like,
right, real shit.
I get more of a stat because we live in this fucking generation of, look at me, look what I did. That shit even goes into crimes.
How do you feel about the, because I'm at the age now where, and I hate it because that means I'm officially old, but the whole culture of like drill music,
mm-hmm.
like growing up, you know, I remember when, you know, gangster rap came on and Snoop and Dre, like I used to have to go, I had to sneak to listen to Doggy Style.
Mm-hmm.
Like my moms wouldn't let me just openly listen to that. But like, if you listen to Doggy Style now, and then you listen to that content and you listen to the young rappers now and their content, Doggy Style wasn't that bad.
No, right.
Like it wasn't as violent.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in being out here moving around, we do know how influential music and hip hop is to the world in our cities, in our country. Do you feel like the drill music or just music in general is playing a part in the violence that is going on? Like, because now a lot of these young cats, they really rapping about shit that they really actually doing. And like, mm-hmm. hip hop's supposed to be the art of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
You don't got to actually be doing that shit. Like, a lot of these actors ain't actually killing people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But we going, spending money in the movie theaters and we supporting these projects. But why is it in our culture, you have to really be killing a motherfucker, or you really have to be robbing a nigga, and then you going on the music and saying it, and laying it out for the cops to come right to you.
Right.
Do you think that's planned and programmed that way, as far as like the streaming thing now? Because now it's like violence is almost monetary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're monetizing off of the violence and the shit that's going on in the community.
Man, I know a lot of people ain't gonna like my answer, but I think that shit do play a part in that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know me, everybody know what kind of music I make.
Right.
You don't think the motherfuckers see me at shows and be like, bruh,
right.
you know what I just did? Listen to your music. I just sold it. I'm like, bruh, don't tell me.
Right.
Don't tell me, bruh.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just fucked up
mm-hmm.
that the shorties want to prove themselves through the music.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
And I mean, you know what, man? A lot of people could say that about us
mm-hmm.
for the shit that we talk. Man, all they talk about is selling this or selling that. Or,
yeah.
But the difference to me is that, I mean, we wanted to be bosses. It was right. about money.
Right.
You know what I mean? Money, selling drugs is not, it's not cool. It'll get you an asshole full of time.
Right.
It'll have your mama missing you and your mm-hmm. kids missing you.
Mm-hmm.
But man, you ain't killing nobody, man. You ain't blowing nobody fucking head off
right.
over lyrics and just in the music and just the, and just like you said, it's like, in my era, you had to be nice.
Right. Mm.
It's like, these niggas don't gotta be nice. It's like,
if he's
okay, if he okay, but he shot some niggas,
like he really is shooting.
He the next one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think Shorty's got it fucked up with that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling nobody to rap about what they don't. I mean, rap fake shit. I'm just saying, like, be yourself. Don't ever feel like you can't be yourself to get some money or to get next to that pretty girl you like, or to get that car you want. You don't got to be a tough guy. You could literally be in your own skin.
Mm-hmm.
Man, guys like Drake and Jack Harlow show us that every day.
Right.
Toby, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Guys like that. Tyler, the Creator.
Right.
Man, be yourself.
You Cold.
Cold, man. You don't got to, that Johnny P's Caddy, I refused to go to Saks for that video because I knew how bro was going.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? He made me like, nah, we not doing that because I know bro not doing that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I did the video with Money Man. I'm in Saks. I'm Dolce & Gabbana
Yeah.
I know my boy Money Man.
He
coming drippy.
Right.
But it's like, man, be yourself. Mm. That's why around the time when you discovered me, I was rapping about living in the projects, having to put the 2x4 on my door so I can go to sleep at night.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? Man, be yourself.
Right.
Be yourself. You know what I'm saying? That's what people don't think, that you got to be a tough guy or like, you know, we really did that. All right, man, I ain't gonna get you. I ain't gonna get you nothing. So I think the shorties kind of got that misconstrued in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love the drill movement because anything that's putting food on the table,
it's providing a way for them.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a touchy subject, but it's like, man, you know what I mean? Don't take it so literal. You know what I mean? Don't use the music as a form of violence.
Right.
And I'm saying they're using the music as a form of violence sometimes. Not all of them. You know, and I don't want to say that. I know these, a lot of these young kids, is they born into it. They don't have a choice. Like I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to tell you. Be yourself.
Mm. Have you
in
felt
the middle
like
of all that?
You maybe wanted to change some of your content the older you gotten and the different life experiences, because obviously in the earlier tapes, you was still in Buffalo, still involved in whatever it was. Now things have changed.
Right. I think if people listen to my music, my content has changed.
I think so too.
Yeah. My content has changed. I'm gonna be honest with you. After that shit in Houston, I don't be rapping about all that shit.
Mm.
I mean, like guns and shit like that, shooting and shit like that. I done been in shootouts.
Right.
Before that Houston shit.
Right.
Niggas have been in shootouts and did everything. So even if I do talk about it, I'm going back, but I'm not just drawn out of it nowhere just to make a point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't got to talk about frivolous gun pay. Shit, you move different. We talked about it earlier. Like, if you've been through some shit, you move different. I'm moving different. I don't want to talk about, people say all I do is coke rap. Fuck them. But sometimes I want to show, like, I could do other things.
Right.
How has your perspective changed outside of the Houston thing and even safety as far as how you move? How has your perspective just changed from the success and just being a full-time rapper and just having an entirely different lifestyle that you have?
Is that, man, you know, it's a lot on my shoulders.
Mm.
It's a lot that I can handle anything. Maybe my mama can't handle it though.
Right.
Maybe my kids can't handle it.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be like, yo, I could do this. And then putting them through something like, damn, we can't go through that. We need you.
Right.
So you got to grow the fuck up. Honestly, man, you just got to grow the fuck up and realize that even though I'm the guy with the spot, I'm the guy with the microphone, but I represent a lot of people.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? The Benny the Butcher is you know, a lot of people stand behind me. I'm not here by myself.
Mm.
You know what I mean? If it was a lot of people, I wouldn't be here. Just be mindful of that. Stop making these selfish decisions if it's the hanging out or if it's the just doing shit that I shouldn't be doing. Just thinking, you know what I mean? Selfishly.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask and talk about the whole situation with Freddie.
Mm-hmm.
Only because I fuck with both of y'all personally.
Mm-hmm.
I fuck with both of y'all as artists. And just being honest, I don't know what the fuck, how it even started.
I'm legitimately confused.
Man, you niggas gotta ask him that, man. Like,
I plan on it. I plan on it. But I, as somebody that just knows both of y'all and know that at one point it was really love.
I think that nigga just try to you know, use my energy in some type of way.
Mm.
If I feel like if he couldn't use it by doing songs with me, he was looking for a situation to, I mean, people know how he go.
Yeah.
He was looking for a situation to, you know what I mean? And this ain't what he wanted.
Mm.
That's just simple the thing. You know what I'm saying? I don't hate that, man. I'm a street nigga. I'm a gangster for real.
Mm.
He ain't not on what I'm on. So I don't hate him. This music. You know what I'm saying? For a person who I sat on a video with and done songs with and then be going on Twitter like, that ain't me.
Mm.
That's his shit. I did that shit just to show him, like, you can't even beat me at this.
Do you feel like your quote, was it an interview or something when you were saying that you didn't want to do? I don't want to misquote you. Whatever the Freddie Gibbs quote, that's what I saw as far as the timeline goes.
This
that started the whole thing that you said you didn't want
to. Look, and I don't even like to talk about this, but like I said, I wouldn't be talking about this if I wasn't with y'all.
Right.
That's what I was telling somebody else. You know, people do interviews with him and call me like, yo, just letting you know I did it. I'm like, go ahead, do your shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm not trying to be a tough guy or no nothing like that.
Right.
But in this situation, whenever I reacted, it's been heavier. So people like, damn. But like you said, you ain't seen nothing until that Ebro. He was already a year talking about niggas go to Houston, get shot. That was a year since then.
Okay, see,
it make the news when I speak on it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whatever he did, whatever you see me go crazy that day, it's because he did something. Nobody know. When I go, damn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. So I got to realize is that people look at me as in a different light, how they look at this guy, to be honest with you. So they're like, man, that's just him. That's just him. People look at me like, you got more sense. Or like, bro, what you doing? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, shit. Well, we don't expect that from you. The responsibility shit we talking about. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but basically that's what it is. I don't know what it's over. I mean, because I'm on Twitter one day. I see that shit. I'm like, what? Last time I seen that nigga, I was at his Grammy shit. And I'm a street nigga. I don't fuck with niggas or stand around these niggas to get songs with them. If we don't fuck around, we don't fuck around. You know what I'm saying? That nigga was acting like me, like he fucked with me. Like, yo, nigga.
That's what I thought.
That nigga seen me. When I seen that nigga at that Grammy shit, the first thing he said to me, I was on the crutches. The first thing that nigga Freddie said to me, walked up and said, nigga, who we gotta kill? I said, everybody. He started talking about rap. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, he all good, man. But
yeah. I mean, here's my thing. I believe that people could just coexist. Like, it doesn't have to be fucking kumbaya and y'all have to be friends or anything.
Yeah, but what
does it take?
It don't.
We were just talking about the drill.
I don't want to see y'all shit go too far.
Exactly. We talk about the drill shit. At what point can we come up with a way to just stop? Y'all don't have to be cool, but what would it take for y'all to just?
You got to keep my name out of his mouth.
That's simple.
You don't talk about nobody getting shot, especially some shit. That's bottom of the line. Like I said, I hate to talk about this shit. This shit about to be going viral.
Yeah.
But you don't talk about that, especially if you wasn't in that room.
Yeah.
Every street nigga know that, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're talking about it, we're going to carry you like you did it then. Everybody know that.
Would you be open to a conversation with him at this point?
There's nothing to talk about. He could coexist. I don't want to talk. I'm not talking to nobody. I don't give a fuck if he a rapper, to nobody who talk about me getting shot and they almost lost my life.
Yeah.
Understandable.
Yeah.
I ain't talking to nobody. You could coexist. It's all good.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to, like, bro, what you doing, bro?
Yeah.
You talking about that?
Yeah.
A word. As a nigga who act like you fuck with me? Like, come on. As a nigga who done said, who we gotta?
Yeah.
Come on, man. That ain't gangster. That ain't 100. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I want people to know. I want the world to know is that that's how these rappers are. So I'm not even blaming him. It's for me. I got to learn how to navigate. How after this shit happened in Houston, or after if I don't work with a bad label.
You was applying street ethics and codes to the rap and music shit.
What I was about to ask you. Do you take accountability for putting, you thought y'all was not just rapper friends?
No. I knew we were only rapper friends.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get
your expectation, I guess.
Like, he can't be my other friend.
Right.
Me and my other friends, we done did, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
So, but it was like, I seen it on TV and heard about it in the game, but I ain't know like these niggas would be together and then just one nigga just make up some shit out of nowhere, make a problem with you. So I'm like, so this shit really happened. So, you know what I'm saying? We look goofy as fuck.
Right.
We on the songs together and went on tour together. Then it's, I'm not that type of nigga. I'm solid.
Right.
Anybody could vouch for me. I'm not.
Right.
So whatever he got going on, I know he gonna say, well, he did this. Ask that nigga what Benny the Butcher did to him to have him be talking about some shit on Twitter. He trying to sell some records.
That's disappointing. See, I only asked you honestly, bro, because I really did not know what happened.
Nobody know. I know why. Nobody know because
privately I was like, yo, can you tell me what's going on with this? This confused the shit out of me. I didn't know where that shit came from.
I was talking to somebody. Like I said, I'm only talking about this because I'm saying I'm kicking it with y'all. But
yeah.
I was talking to somebody and it was like, yeah, man, I just feel like you and you had. I'm like, man, because y'all don't know, because it's only a thing. When I say it's not a thing, he going back. He was tight. He tweeted that shit on Twitter like a year and a half ago. Nobody knew because I didn't reply. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So as soon as I spoke about it, now it's a thing. And I was on every blog.
Yeah.
Whenever he woke up, when you see that shit that I did, when you see me on World Star, whatever, when it went, whatever he woke up and did that day, nobody don't know that. I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I did what I did. They're like, damn, Benny, you know what I mean? It's like, it always come back to me.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? So I got to chill.
When he did tweet it though, did you feel like you wanted to reach out to him or just let me take note and move? how I move.
I wanted to reach out to him. I wanted to see where his head was at. Like, that was a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Before it got public. I wanted to reach out to him just to check. Like, yo, you.
Temperature check. Like, why you say that shit?
That was about. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to see.
Yeah.
A nigga got to thinking back. Like, what did I say? I mean, yeah. Like, but you also know, man, sometimes these rap niggas be. Like, you seen that Michael Jordan shit, and I took that personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Rappers these take niggas, everything
they,
personal.
Oh, they take everything personally. So a nigga might been geared up in his head, might thought that I said, I don't know. And I really don't care. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's just I just want people to know that because I be getting flack back. Like, I started, like, I'm bothering this man. I got way more shit to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I knew as soon as they let Buffalo niggas in the game, I knew he was going to beat up a rapper. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I knew that was going to happen. Not to be on no tough guy
right,
shit.
Right.
But I just know a nigga was gonna underestimate, think niggas was playing or thinking shit was gonna go left for that nigga. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's just what happened.
Well, I definitely don't want to see it go any further because, like I said, I fuck with both of y'all, and I think that, you know, at one point it was some good chemistry there, and we just don't need that shit. We had enough of that.
Yeah,
shit
we
in
don't.
Our culture.
We don't need it. I'm not a goofy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This shit got niggas. I'm not a goofy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And anybody could vouch for that. Mm-hmm. So just like, and that's another thing. Like, you got me looking like a goofy. I don't like that.
Yeah.
People got my niggas asking me this shit in an interview.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't do nothing, bro. Mm.
I feel you.
What I'm saying?
I feel you.
Shit's crazy.
Well, of course they're just gonna put it on you because of the city it happened in and
exactly.
All that shit.
Which,
again, yeah. all alleged shit that we don't really need to get into detail for. I do hope with this album rollout that does not become a thing. Because again, y'all don't need to be best friends. I just want that shit to stop. Like.
Man, he just gotta stop saying my name.
Just stop. And I mean, I don't talking about it.
Yeah,
because like you said, like he did what he did for a year. I kept quiet for a year. Mm. But then you know his album coming rolling out, so he's saying more and more shit. So it's like, all right, now you know what I mean. So it is what it is, though.
I mean, at one point we don't have to make it a Freddy thing. At what point do you just ignore shit? Especially like with popularity. Let's not even put it with rappers. Mm. Like even fans or. Any type of criticism or anything that's said about you, like, have you gotten better at ignoring shit? Like, it's not even worth the energy to acknowledge the shit.
I'm getting better. Like, for every negative thing in my life, like, if somebody say something negative to me, I try to, like, to respond to somebody who say something positive for every time somebody do something negative to me. Mm-hmm. Every time somebody, like, piss me off, I try to like call somebody else and like uplift their day. Like, yo, man, like, man, you going crazy.
It's a good strategy.
I try to do the opposite. I try to like, you know what I'm saying? I'm working on myself, man.
Right.
I promise I'm working on myself.
Yeah. But that's important. As long as you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the Benny therapy bag, if we want to. Huh? So we get into a Benny therapy bag if we want to. We're working on himself and shit.
We might need it, man. I'm working on myself.
How is life on a personal level for you right now? Like, are you happy?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm happy.
I don't know if I like that tone, Benny.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm believable.
I'm happy, but I'm not content.
Okay,
I respect that. And I got a lot of people around me who think this is the end game. Who think that I'm happy. So it's like, man, I'm just looking
way down the road. Yeah.
But do you think you'll only be happy if you're content?
Yes, I feel like that's the thing for men. A lot of men, we can't be happy or be a blessing in no one else's life until we're content. But guess what? I might not need $100 million to be content. Mm-hmm. I might need a hundred seashells. I might like want to collect seashells.
Yeah.
Whatever makes us content in our heart. And my thing is not money. It's doing what I love to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And being like in that one record, I said being up feel good, but not better than being sure.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I want to wake up and be sure every day. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like with men and just having an ego and nuts and just testosterone and all that shit, I could say what I think will make me content and then I'll get it and I won't be content because I have to go to the next thing. So at that point, it's like you can't find happiness in being content because we probably won't be content. That's part of ambition.
But
like, we have to get to the next level.
But you're right.
Like right now, you're nominated for Lyricist of the Year. Mm-hmm. You go win tomorrow. Yeah, all right, next thing, Grammy. Like,
right. But
you won't
be
content. You can appreciate it.
All right, but happiness
it can't make you happy.
Happiness is a journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you got to keep finding different things to give you that happiness, to give you that joy, to make you content. And it might be, like you said, today it might be this. That's the thing about men. You know, man, we're conquerors, we're journeyers. We like to, you know what I'm saying? We like to do shit like that. Mm-hmm. So today, I might motherfucking wake up You see guys like Ludacris and LL Cool J and Ice-T, they acting. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. These dudes came out and sold tons of records. Mm-hmm. I'm saying now they switched over to acting, and you never know what might fall on your heart. But
where do you find fulfillment outside of work and family?
And just traveling, seeing new things, man, and just being in places where there's no expectations of me. Mm. It's just like, where we got to go today, we don't got to go nowhere. A lot of times when I went to St. Thomas. And
when? I was just there.
Man, I love St. Thomas. I went to St. Thomas and didn't really leave the mansion and didn't go nowhere. Mm-hmm. I was just chilling, just eating food. I did that a couple times in Vegas. Mm-hmm. I do that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
I don't need to leave because I didn't come out to go clubbing. I just came to chill and just relax. Like, I was watching, what's that shit called again? What's that shit when they be Ozark? I watched like crazy hours of Ozark, falling asleep on the couch.
Yeah.
And then I got one of them couches for my house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, that's a hell of a
good
couch.
Sleep right there. Right?
That's a fact. So when I'm just doing nothing, you know what I'm saying? We do so much and pouring my soul into everything so much. Sometimes I just like to do nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's this. So at one point, you know, I'm sure when you started out rapping and back in Buffalo and, you know, now you're like at the BET Hip Hop Awards nominated for Lyricist of the Year. That journey, are you happy with, or should I say, did you think that it would be what it was or what it is? Did it meet your expectations? Like now that I'm sure you used to watch the BET Hip Hop Awards. Mm-hmm. Now you're nominated for Lyricist of the Year. Mm-hmm. Like, speak to the kid that's in the situation you were back in Buffalo looking at the awards. Like, damn, like that journey, is it everything you thought it would be?
Yeah, the journey was, and the journey is the best part. I'm not going to lie, the journey is the best part. Man, I said this on camera before, man, I've been grinding so long in Buffalo. Y'all know that shit's like, for a moment of time, I couldn't even watch the BET Hip Hop Awards, the BET Awards period. I didn't want to see that shit. Mm-hmm. I felt like I needed to be there, and I felt like, where was my career going? Where is my life going? But you hear that shit like with the nerve of me.
Right.
Yeah. That's some crazy shit though. As I think about it now, like that's some crazy shit.
Like, look how you talking now.
Yeah. Like, now you go to St. Thomas to watch Ozark.
Turn the TV up and then fuck these niggas, man.
No, real shit.
Yeah.
Just watching that shit, I couldn't. I'm like, man, I ain't watching this shit because I'm supposed to be there. Like the nerve of me.
Yeah.
But now I'm here, so I was right about something.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell the kids, man, put your best foot forward. See, a lot of people don't understand about when you become an artist, it's not about who could cater to you. You know what I mean? Like, you got to think, these labels give you this money. Like, you ain't did shit for them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? For all of us who ain't named Aubrey, Lil Baby.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Nicki.
Right, right.
There's a lot of us who name ain't that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when they give you the bread, like, Def Jam gave me the bread, like, they not sure I'm going to recoup that money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They do business with people a lot of times who they were sure. Like, ain't fucking Justin Bieber signed to Def Jam?
At one point, yeah.
At one point.
All Universal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, chairs. Man, it's just like, man, you got to give your all to this. Like, people don't know. You got to give your all to this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, a lot of times, as artists, sometimes we think, like, man, what could these people do for me? When you starting from the bottom, it's like, no, what could you do for these people? How could you become an asset?
Right.
And that's what I just try to do. I just try to become an asset in the room. I try to never, never, never need West Side Gunn.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I never asked West Side Gunn for nothing. I always bring that up because not saying that I never needed to.
Right.
I just knew a whole bunch of other motherfuckers was asking him for shit.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
I needed
other favors.
Right.
I didn't need him to be like, okay, I got this BET shit going on. And I got this studio session going on. I could bring Benny, but I ain't calling that nigga. That nigga gonna need it. He gonna need some money. You know what I mean? I ain't calling. I didn't want to be that. I didn't want to bring that energy towards him.
Mm-hmm.
So I never asked him for nothing. I just wanted to become an asset to him.
Did that come from? So because I don't know if you even remember this. We were outside the Universal building, I think, right before Wes had signed that Shady deal.
Mm-hmm.
It was you and Wes. I ran into y'all like in the lobby, and I was like, "Are you signing with that?" She was like, "Nah, I'm not signing nothing with Shady at all. Like, that's all a West Side Griselda thing."
Mm-hmm.
This was way before Roc Nation, anything like that.
Word.
Is that when you started to like soak up what labels can and cannot do for you and what's really owed and what's not as far as that went? Because you was just with West, like,
right,
as his mans going up to the meeting.
Right, right, right. Man, I did. And man, I wanted to be signed to Shady Records so fucking bad. Like I said, imagine not being a BET award, not watching that shit, and then my cousin getting signed, both my cousins, and they telling me like, yo, we got this deal, we about to do this, we about to do that. And it's like, man, I'm around Shady, I'm around Paul, I'm around Mike, I met M. Where's my contract?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, you know, I didn't need it. Like, what they done for me was enough. Shout out Mike, including me on that, what was Sheen gonna do too? You know what I'm saying? People don't know. That started as, I'm telling the business here, that started as Spurs album, Benny and Conway. To be honest with you, that started as that. And then after Mike put that idea together, it was like, okay, let me run it past Wes. Wes is like, shit, I'm getting on it too. What we doing? All three of us, let's go. We like, okay, let's go. And he curated that, and that's how it came out. But Eminem didn't have a problem with me coming to rapping on that shit with BT and that Cypher.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was the biggest moment in my career. I remember getting like 4,000 followers that night. Like, you know, that's heavy. And that's when I was in the teens. I watched it. And they never showed it on, the episode, but they showed it on BT. I mean, they showed it on the internet. And I remember like watching that. I was living in the projects, watching that shit the whole time. Like, when we coming on? But throughout the whole, I'm getting followers throughout the whole episode. You know what I'm saying? So I'm forever thankful. And I just realized that I didn't need to sign to them. And that's what these artists don't know. And that's what Jay trying to tell us a lot. Like, you don't need to do that. You might think like, yo, I got to sign this contract. I got to, you know what I'm saying? You don't need to do that all the time. You got to have your own reasons. It's like, you might want the money from them, but it's certain rooms you might want to be in. You can get in them rooms yourself. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes.
And I want to make sure, Shady, I know you're watching and hate Maul and I anytime we sit with someone from Griselda. I think that's dope that they gave y'all those looks and you weren't even signed to them. So shout out, because I know Mike and Paul hate my guts.
Mike is my guy.
You know, I love Mike. And sometimes, you know what?
Ran down my number through Derek, through everyone in Griselda, then text me and then never text me again.
He just wanted to shake you up a little bit through the text.
He like, said, yo, when you talk, I was like, I'm free in 30 minutes. Never heard from him again.
Damn, yo, Mike, that kind of guy, man.
Mike also thinks I'm not creative.
Well, that was him throwing a shot at you.
For what? I don't know, Mike.
That was him throwing a shot.
Nah, he gonna
just randomly tweeting about me. I'm like, what the fuck?
I think Griselda do get a bad, like, or they be like, damn, was it bad blood from Griselda, Shady? Man, we thankful for them dudes. You got to think, man, we came in a game with Eminem. I came in the game with M through Griselda, signed to Roc Nation with Hov, got brought to Def Jam by Snoop.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the makings heavy of something co-signs. Great. You know what I mean? Co-signs. Like real shit.
Yeah, and I think anytime, because we do respect Shady and that entire building, that they think we're saying foul things about them. We ask like, all right, what happened with the Shady deal? What happened? Like we talk with Conway at Soul House. It's like, oh, I didn't feel Shady's presence on this one. And they take everything too personal. And I've always just found that weird, because I think out of their whole roster, I don't think there's been a media platform that's put Griselda, Westside Boogie, like number one as far as the music we talk about and play.
Right.
So I want to end our Shady beef with Benny
today. Or what they thought was the Shady
beef.
Man, we love Shady, man.
I saw Paul at the Westside Boogie show last week, and he was blocking the bathroom door at the green room. I wasn't sure if it was static or not.
You know, Paul top big like should a linebacker.
He's a big dude. I couldn't move him.
Like a linebacker. Right, right.
I want to get into some Soprano questions. Favorite character from the Soprano series?
Man, it got to be Tony. I'm saying? Got to be Tony. Like, Tony's a fucking maniac. He's crazy. He's a narcissist. You know what I'm saying? I just like watching that character unfold. You know what I'm saying? The imperfections of him. You know what I mean? A lot of times they try to give us these perfect characters. You know what I'm saying? Like, that dude is anything but perfect. You know what I'm saying? And I identify with that.
Yeah, and I feel like The Sopranos was the first TV show to give us a character that was a piece of shit, but like we were rooting for them the whole time.
That's
like
what it was.
We liked him. We identified with him. Right, it wasn't like, let's find
You know how many times we like Tony? Too far. You went too far, man. Like,
stop fucking these Russian strippers, Tony. You have kids.
So Benny the Butcher. Can you cook? And I ain't talking about what I think you're talking about, nigga. I'm talking about, can Benny the Butcher cook?
You're vegan, though.
Yeah, you still got to cook.
Well, butchers cut meat, pause.
Like, well, cut some
mushrooms is vegan meat.
Yeah,
exactly. Mushrooms.
Thank you.
But no, I can't.
Okay.
I can't cook shit. I could make waffles, pancakes, French toast.
Yeah.
Breakfast food, I kill that shit.
We always go to that. Why niggas always go to breakfast?
That niggas want an egg sandwich right now? Yeah. I fry that shit up. That niggas want some French toast? That niggas want some pancakes? I'm the nigga.
I feel like that's the first thing we learn how to make is breakfast. The first thing we know how to do is scramble eggs, make some bacon, and then when we really, really know how to cook is make a good pancake. Don't burn the pancake.
Not real shit. When you see all the bubbles.
When you see the bubbles, that's when you know I flipped it.
But I can't cook for shit, man. I know why. Man, I could count on my, I'm 37 years old, and I can count on my hand how many times I attempted the fried chicken, and I would still have fingers left. Maybe 3 times in my life.
Okay, so we just created a new TV show for Benny.
Man, let me
well,
show
shit,
me
I don't even like to go. Because
you know, that's the one thing I'm going to do. You ever been to them restaurant, the supermarkets with the deal already, with the dish already made? You just got to heat it up a little
bit. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to fuck people up one day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
Benny,
I made all
of
this.
TV dinners?
Shit. Exactly. Or I want to learn how to master one dish and cook that shit all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. We should do a food, because Buffalo is a great food city. Like, outside of the obvious with wings and shit. But Buffalo is like a really good food city. We should do some type of segment.
Yeah.
What's outside of food? What is?
But y'all not a cook? You not a cook?
I definitely cook. Yeah, therapy shit. Is
I ain't
cooking.
Gonna have a whole house
over
yet and just cook for everybody. But I could cook something.
Okay. Yeah. I can't do shit, man. I can't do nothing.
In the city of Buffalo, how does it feel now, aside from probably Rick James being like some of the most famous, most infamous artists out of the city?
Man, it's dope. It's lovely. And
did you ever meet Rick James?
I never met Rick James. Mm-hmm. I never met Rick. Never got the chance to meet him. But this is what it's like from being from being a kid from the east side of Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make it, but you're in the same city, but it's not like the same city. Mm-hmm. That's when I realized it's not even black and white. It's rich and poor.
Right.
I'm allowed in, from having his money and having his influence, I'm allowed in so many other rooms. And it's like, I be in Buffalo a lot, like, but I don't be where I used to be. Like, it's a whole different Buffalo.
Right.
Like, I got new friends. I do different shit. So it's like, I love it. I love the diversity that the newfound fame bring me, my family, and other parts of the city too, because I'm still coming with them. Right. I'm still pulling up with the East Side with me.
Right.
So it's like, that's dope that we get to, you know what I'm saying, see everything the city got to offer. You know what I mean?
It seems like so much. Since like y'all took off and really seen success, it seemed like just Buffalo, like the Bills are even playing great.
That's crazy.
Y'all might need stock in the team. They might need to get y'all some stock in the Buffalo Bills.
Man, they might, man. I think, man.
Because y'all made it cool to be in Buffalo now.
Atlanta did it. St. Louis did it. Mm-hmm. A lot of cities did it.
Yeah.
And I think Buffalo, the sports team is hot. The music is hot. That's why we show them support, man.
Yeah.
Because it's like, man, we in this shit together.
Yeah, exactly. Man. You have to. You got to support each other.
I was at the fucking what's this shit? I was just at the Giants. Who the fuck they
play? Giants Cowboys?
Giants Cowboys game. Mm-hmm. That was crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was in the suite with all the rich motherfuckers. I was in the suite. The motherfucker was with Ray Lewis. Man, I forgot his name, man. I apologize for getting your name, but this dude owns a bank, Eubank, the letter U.
Yeah.
I was like, he owned a bank.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He was telling me how he had 9,400 acres.
Right.
And it's like crazy shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what?
400. I saw you tweet that Ray Lewis almost broke your hand.
He did. Yo, Ray Lewis shook my hand. Seriously. He shook my hand and it hurt it.
Yeah, but you can't shake it.
No, I walked away. 2 minutes later, I'm just chilling. And I realized 2 minutes, I'm like, my shit still hurt. I'm like, what the fuck he did?
His shit still numb? He's still
I shook his hand. I met him. And then I went back to take a picture. So you see the picture. He got his arm around me.
Yeah.
He's like a sofa.
Yeah.
Yo.
It's like, God damn, Ray.
Yeah.
Yo, like real shit.
Yeah.
It's archived on my IG, but we was with Mike Tyson and we were, you know, taking a bunch of group photos or whatever. And then Mike was like, yo, let's take a solo pic. And it's Mike Tyson's my favorite fighter ever. Of course. Mm-hmm. He did like the dap photo.
Yeah.
You could see the fear in my fucking eyes. My whole hand was fucked up Mike. For the rest of the day.
Yo, dog. So we did the Mike Tyson podcast a while ago. And, you know, the whole time to ride over there, you know, it's like, this is Mike, man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, we kind of like, niggas is excited, but niggas is also like, but what Mike we getting? Because you just hear stories about Mike. You don't know
what Mike we getting, right?
What Mike Tyson you getting. Mike come in. We had at the office. He come in. And I wasn't expecting him to be so soft-spoken and friendly. But then, like, you know, after we did the episode, we smoking, we talking. And Mike, he one of them niggas that like to play with his hand. I'm like, yeah. Mike, we not going to do that. Like, no, really. I'll do that with every other nigga in this room.
We not doing that.
We not playing with the hands with you.
No, he was shadow boxing in the kitchen. And it was like,
it was just like, oh, no, you still know how to.
Yo, them athletes are machines, man. Yeah. They machines, even after their pro days, man. They still conditioned. From all them years of conditioning, they still in shape, man.
Yeah. Mike might have been the only time I've ever been starstruck in my entire life.
Yeah, that was big. Me and Mike Tyson was definitely like, and then, you know, he fucked us up when he told us that he was, you know, it put things in perspective for me. To always say that interview and that conversation with Mike Tyson changed a lot for me when he told us before every fight, he was scared to death. Mm. And I looked at him like, what? He said, I used to be in the locker room scared to death, like every fight. That's crazy. Like, Mike, we used to be at the house knowing you about to knock this nigga the fuck out. What are you talking about?
And he stopped, man. Don't order the fight. He gonna be down.
He gonna be out in 2 minutes. Round, we paid $100 for this shit. He's like, yo, I was scared to death every single fight. And to me, that puts so many things in perspective of like, okay, if we think who the baddest, toughest dude on the planet is, if he's telling me that he was scared, then that's a natural thing. Like, okay, we can all be scared.
It's a natural thing, man.
We can all be scared.
Real shit. If Mike was shook, he punished a lot of them dudes.
And he was scared.
I still go back and watch that shit on YouTube.
Of course.
He's punishing them dudes.
Of course.
What? How much money would it take to be Mike's sparring partner training for a fight?
Me?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm cool. I like my
health. Your shit might not rewire right.
Yeah, I like my health. I'm not jumping in the ring with Mike.
I've done some shit to chase my dreams before, but I could never imagine if boxing was like my main dream and the way to get there would to be Mike's sparring partner. Like, all right, you got to do this bullshit job to get to the next level.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me spar with Mike every day.
Bruce Ribs is a bitch.
Right.
You can't, it's a lot of shit you can't do with bruised ribs.
Can't breathe, can't sit up.
Exactly. You don't want bruised ribs.
Yeah, nah.
My cousin used to box professionally and I still spar with him and he broke my ribs last year by accident because he didn't realize I'm not a professional boxer. I don't know why he didn't realize that.
Yeah, like don't swing on me like that.
He broke my ribs. Every movement, every breath you take, I didn't realize your ribs legitimately is like the source of your body.
Exactly.
Like, but I couldn't even breathe correctly for 6 weeks.
What's the craziest thing that you woke up and read about yourself on the internet that was absolutely not true? And he was like, all right, I might be more famous than I thought today.
Them saying I got $7 million.
Okay.
I don't have $7 million. You know, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, I'm like, what the fuck did I wear yesterday? You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? The Google net worth shit. People, let's let me know. People don't know the value of money. They don't know because, you know, people's believing that shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. My mom Googled my name and legitimately called me, not even on some funny shit. It said I was worth $4 million. And my mom was mad at me. She's like, you've been just holding money or something? I was like, I swear on everything I love. She's like, I will have my mom come on our podcast and explain that shit. She called me up. She was like, you have $4 million fucking dollars and you just haven't told me?
Yeah.
Not real shit.
Yeah, my mom called me. It was a thing at one point that I was dating Cash Doll.
Oh, word.
Well, that was a thing, though.
She was like, bro, don't you bring her down? Say hi.
No, seriously, that's how she called me. She was like, oh, so you and Cash Doll together? I said, who?
I'm like, knowing your mother.
I've never even met her.
It's funny your mom would know who Cash Doll was.
That's what I was fucked up about. I'm like, what are you talking? I'm like, my, get off the internet. Like, you just Googling some shit, and now you reading everything, and now you coming to me with it.
I have a weird question that I feel like we should have asked more guests and rappers. How do rappers view the podcast world?
Now say that again.
How do rappers view the podcast world? Like this boom of
we love
whole
it.
New thing.
We on y'all heels. We trying to start these shit. Y'all see us?
Yeah.
Man, we love it because it's like different. It's taking over. I don't know. What is it about these conversations that intrigue people so much?
I think what we do, we always try to make sure we have some type of personal connection.
Okay, exactly. Because the shit I'm saying right here, I'm not talking about it.
I already know, but this is obviously different. But I think that's what the beauty in podcasting is. Well, for us, our angle is always, you know, we don't like to get people on a press run because you kind of programmed them. You're on a press run. You answering things a certain way. You don't want to answer certain things. Mm-hmm. So we try to keep it to where it just feels like more of a conversation. Like, I don't even like holding this mic because I feel like I can't. I got a mic in my hand. This means this is going out to somewhere. Like, I like to just sit and talk to people that I already kind of like have some type of relationship with. They know that, you know, I can ask whatever It's vice versa. You can ask me whatever you want to ask. I don't want to, you know, harp on bullshit and talk about bullshit that people probably ask you every day.
Right.
And just have, you know, just a different level of conversation, like a more, you know, not just, I don't want to talk to Benny the Butcher. You know what I mean?
Right. I get it. And I can feel that.
Yeah.
I can feel
like,
that.
You know, like we talk about shit, you know, and it's certain shit that I would never talk about on mic with you, but I just feel like you and I, or, you know, us, we can have a different conversation. I think that's what podcasting makes it just more intimate. It makes it a more intimate conversation.
Yeah, and it's different. Yeah, it's different. It's like talking to the homies.
Yeah.
That press run shit, like with radio, I feel like the PR person sets that up and you got a full day of different radio studio to different radio studio. Same questions. They may not even really know who they're talking to that day. Mm. Let me pull up Wikipedia and ask them bullshit questions. With the long form content, you actually, of course, you can ask the salacious shit, but that can't fill up an hour
and a
half.
That's a good idea.
Like, you got to actually have some human moments with people.
Right. That's a good idea to catch people outside on press runs, because you're right.
That press run shit is
a program. Three spots. Three interviews.
You done talked to seven people, did four phone interviews. Like, you don't want to sit down on the couch. You want to go to sleep at that
point.
You feel like
you're selling something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here to promote that.
Yeah.
We just here kicking it. I'm not promoting nothing. Right. I don't know what I mean. We just talking.
And I feel like the average fan that, like, you know, obsesses over their favorite artist only gets them in the press run. So they only get the, all right, who produced this? Who's featured on the album type of stuff. They don't know their favorite artist when it's not album time. Mm-hmm. So when it's in between press runs, that's when you actually get
to
know
definitely there to talk about
who your favorite artist is.
Only the album.
Right.
So I just think it's a better form to do shit, but I don't know. Speaking of which, where's the album?
I'm cooking, man. I've been in the lab with Hit Boy. Man, I know they sent me with some Zaytoven beats.
Mm-hmm.
Been in a studio with ATL Jacob.
Okay.
Boy Pyrex.
Love ATL Jacob.
Been in a studio with Mike Will Made It. I'm about to jump in there with Derringer. About to jump in there with Al. But I got a lot of Hit Boy. I'm about to jump back in there with Hit Boy. Might let Hit Boy do the whole album again. Not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Still in the early stages, but I got some records.
Okay.
Who haven't you worked with that you want to, producer-wise?
Hmm?
Who haven't you worked with that you want to?
Man, yay. I got to get in there with Ye and Dre. I got to get in that room Conway was in.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got to tell him, like, bro, don't you never not bring me with you.
Yeah.
Ever, nigga.
Yeah.
You wildin'.
Leave me at the hotel in Wyoming.
I got to get them niggas' numbers out of his phone, man. That's where I want to go.
So what's the plans with, first of all, good to see El Camino. It's good to hear him and see him. I always liked him.
Mm-hmm.
What's the plan with Rick Hyde, El Camino, Heem?
Love Rick.
The whole Black Soprano.
It just continue to push the envelope more. I'm trying to get Rick Hyde into producing more of the artist albums.
Mm-hmm.
Heem about to drop an album. Fuego Bass. We finished with his album.
I like Fuego Bass.
Fuego going crazy. Watch.
I like him.
Mark my words.
I like Fuego Bass.
Fuego's out of here. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Trying to get Rick Hyde to produce more. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to... Heem, a lot of people been taking the Heem. A lot of people feel like Heem stood out on the tape.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So his album about to drop next. He's ready to go. We were just in the studio with SP. Me, SP, and Heem did some shit for his album.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Love Boat. We still working on, like, finalizing his situation at Varick Street.
Mm-hmm.
But he ready to go. Mackie, mm-hmm. Christina Mackie, man, she's crazy talented. We got Young World. Trying to get the artists to doing, like, other things instead of just, you know, being in the studio doing the music.
Yeah.
Work with each other. Work with different artists. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Y'all think Tony died at the end or no?
I think so.
I think so?
Always the answer to that. Yeah, I think so.
I don't think he did, man. You know, they be trying to always leave room to do more shit, but he end up passing away with James. He end up passing away, but I think they were trying to leave room. I don't think so, man.
It would have been fucked up. They smoked Tony in front of his wife and kids eating onion rings.
You got to show us. Tony the big dog.
That's a fucked up time to die.
Tony the big dog, you got to show us Tony getting smoked.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, you know what I mean? If it ain't happened, it ain't happened.
I mean, I've seen all the internet conspiracy theories with, like, how they shot it with the point of view and Tony looked this way and the killer looked this way and then it went black because it was Tony's
vision.
Like,
they were saying, like, his daughter was looking up at the dude.
And then, like, he was wearing a members only jacket, and that was the first episode. I was like, oh, y'all, this is some 9/11 conspiracy shit at this point.
But that's how it happens. You know, people always go way further.
And they said the one dude walked in a restaurant but didn't walk back out.
Mm-hmm.
That was him walking. That was they were saying, right?
He had the gun in the fucking bathroom or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. That whole Soprano shit, I just feel like that changed TV completely.
I did. Like a lot of these shows, even the black shows, man, like the, it's like, it brought it to TV. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's like The Wire type of shit. The Wire and The Sopranos. I mean, it's like the father of like the TV we see today, if you ask me.
For sure.
How do you feel about Snowfall?
Man, I love Snowfall, man.
Snowfall or The Wire?
Oh, I don't even like that you have to think.
I gotta go Wire because the OG, but I'm loving Snowfall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, man, I think I'm Franklin Saint with the lamp chain. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, and I met him at Diddy House.
Cool dude.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Cool dude. Yeah. Cool dude.
Did you see Many Saints of Newark? The Sopranos?
Did I? I love that movie.
Did you love it?
I love that movie.
A lot of people didn't like it.
They didn't?
I liked it because they was expecting a different type.
Right,
of
right, right.
I was one of those people. I went in there with expectations. Maybe right, I should. Right. I think Sopranos, the writers, directors, everything deserve expectations because they're so genius. Mm-hmm. I went in with expectations.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't dislike it, but I was a little underwhelmed.
It wasn't enough.
I don't really think anything happened at all, like, in the movie.
No, I see.
Like, what happened to the movie?
I think
nothing.
We got to know Unk in his younger days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got to see his treachery.
Yeah. Mm.
You know what I'm saying? We got to know a little bit about Tony's father.
Mm-hmm. Listen.
You know what I'm saying?
I got an issue just being Eskimo brothers with my friends, let alone my father. Y'all don't think it was sick that he was fucking his stepmom?
Of course it was crazy. Sick.
Like, yeah.
He killed his pop so he could beat.
I ain't gonna say that's why he killed him.
Yes, it was.
So he could beat? Nah. Nah. I'm not gonna give you that. I see why I understand it, but nah. Mm.
It was other shit.
It was other things. It was definitely other things.
I think that would have been a good intro to what a series could have been. Like that should have been the movie
that's
to go
thing.
Into
I thought
what that
should have been a series.
Yeah.
No, right. Like I'm definitely expecting another part.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I would hope so.
It's gotta be two or three. Like we gotta see Tony.
Yeah.
We gotta see Tony do some criminal shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, he was pussy shit. The whole movie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I loved it how
baby Chris was crying.
Yeah. You know what
I'm saying? Everything around Tony, like I mean, that was one of my favorite parts.
Yeah.
Anything
like
that tied into the series.
And I liked how they had I forgot the gentleman's name that plays Chris from The Sopranos. He was in Dead Presidents. He was in Mad Shit. I like that he introed the whole shit of like, yo, this is the guy that killed me.
Yeah, that was dope.
I thought that was ill.
And I like seeing like them making the characters younger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And the younger characters like trying to get like from the series, trying to mock everything those guys was doing and mm-hmm. trying to get the looks down. You know what I'm saying? Like Uncle Junior, I think that was dope.
Yeah, I thought
Uncle Junior had been bald for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what
and,
I mean?
And emotional for a long time.
For a long time. Right? He never switched his glasses up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just always wanted to know what you thought of Many Saints of Newark.
Man, I love it, man. Fans sent me like the Sopranos jacket, the Sopranos jersey. Fans sent me all of that shit.
How much of calling the label Black Soprano Family do you want to kind of brand it with the actual Soprano show?
A lot. Mm. A lot, actually, because I'm a fan of the show. I'm inspired by the La Cosa Nostra culture family
mm-hmm.
and hierarchy. You know what I'm saying? And you know that don't even stand in just in a criminal world. You know what I'm saying? We run in a business. They ran them like Fortune 500 companies. So I'm inspired off of things like that.
Yeah.
And I just, you know what I mean? I do want to indulge like in, I want to do like mob movies. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's why I love the movie, because anytime they give me anything like a mob movie, I love it. Like, what's the one shit? Russell Bufalino not too long ago.
Oh, Irishman.
The Irishman. Yeah. I love that movie too.
Classic.
And mm-hmm. That movie got a lot of flack. So I
love The Irishman.
I don't think we're never going to get another Goodfellas. We're never going to get another Goodfellas.
But we shouldn't.
Another Casino. We not going to get one.
Like those, let those, you know what I mean?
Because
if you try to, it's going to be like, all right, see, now y'all playing games.
Right,
like,
exactly,
don't do that.
Right.
Leave that where it's at.
But what's funny about The Irishman is like, it was like the deluxe album of Goodfellas. Goodfellas, when you look back at all the mob movies, has the least amount of action. It's a very, they're just dialogue the entire time.
Exactly.
Of course, you got the scene when they beat up Billy Bats and all that shit. But it's a fucking,
not
quote
right,
unquote,
right,
boring movie when it comes to action in mob movies. The Irishman was just 3 hours of dialogue, whereas mm-hmm. Goodfellas was 2 hours you could take
right,
it.
Right.
Yeah,
I think that's why people hated that.
But the Irishman is a classic.
I like that.
I love that movie.
I love it too. I love it.
And even shit, Buffalo's history with that whole shit. And, you know, I'm right. Irish, so I don't really fuck with Italians. Like
Russell
like that,
Buffalino. Yeah, like that's Erie, PA. It was right next to Buffalo. Mm. You know what I'm saying, even though the name, it has nothing to do with it, ironically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, around that time, like Stefano Magadino, he was the Buffalo crime boss. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Joe Bonanno's cousin.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Real shit.
Yeah, I feel like the whole commission case and all that shit, wasn't that by Buffalo where they called everyone upstate and shit?
It was upstate in the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah.
But Stefano Magadino, the Buffalo crime boss, he was there. Mm. He's the longest running crime boss ever. He was the boss for 50 years. Mm. He was the only person ever to do that like that. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like Buffalo as a city is still like that blue collar union type mm-hmm. city that doesn't really happen within the tri-state anymore at all.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that actually has anything to do with how y'all built your fan base of just like regular ass people? Not even organized crime shit. I feel like Buffalo's still one of the few blue collar cities. People are born and raised there, stay there. It's not a transplant city.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has anything to do with the fan base that y'all started with. Cause the Griselda fan base feels like the homegrown blue collar, like we was raised here type.
Yeah, I think
thing,
so.
That's why I feel like a lot of New York City acts aren't really making it, because New York City has become such a transplant city. It's not mm-hmm. New Yorkers the way it used to be. Mm-hmm. Whereas Buffalo, to me, outside looking in, still feels like that type of thing.
I believe so. I think us being from damn near the middle of nowhere, like wanted people to root for us.
Mm.
Like, oh man, where they from? And also, it made it less territorial.
Yeah.
Like, we were not from a borough. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, that kind of hindered us too. If we talk East Coast music, if you ask me, mm-hmm. I'm Benny the Butcher and Griselda. I feel like, you know what I mean? If Benny the Butcher was from Brooklyn, you know what I'm saying? But now it's like this though. We don't deal with none of the politics of the boroughs. These dudes don't fuck with these dudes. These don't, you know what I'm saying? We don't deal with none of that shit. Mm-hmm. We don't deal with none of the politics. Cause we from the middle of nowhere. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? We don't got nothing to do with that shit. People just enjoy our music in a certain way. So I feel like, man, being from Buffalo definitely helped us. It's nothing ever came from out that motherfucker.
I think everything has shifted, whereas if you weren't from New York, Atlanta, L.A., artists used to be like, I'm not in the main markets, I can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're not from the main markets now, like shit, Jack Harlow, I think he's become
mm-hmm.
that whole state's champion. Mm-hmm. Like everyone wants to get behind him because he's not
from
a major, like, oh, we got one finally. Whereas New York, it's like, we have 10,000 rappers in Brooklyn. Why am I get behind you? Because mm-hmm. you're from Brooklyn?
No, real
it doesn't
shit.
Work that way.
No, that's a fact. And I think that's a tactic that people use, and they want to go get like the middle of nowhere kids,
mm-hmm.
the middle of nowhere people. Cause it's like, talk about your area. We mm-hmm. we heard about all of these cities before. Mm-hmm. Tell us about this place. We never even been to this motherfucker. We didn't even know this shit exists. Rap about it for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think people into that.
What happened to the record you had with Nas on the Hit Boy produced album?
I think Hit was telling me that it kind of didn't fit the Burden of Proof, and it was for Burden of Proof, and it didn't fit. But we was listening to it the other day, and I'm like, it fit this new motherfucker. It fit this one.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I mean, I was listening. Yeah. I think it fit, and it's crazy you said that, but I'm thinking like I'm gonna revisit that. I want to see if I could use that for this album.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh shit! I haven't heard that one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a Drake one. I need to hear the Nas one.
No, man, it's a good one, man. Yeah. It's a good one, man. Yeah. I'm trying to tell you.
All right. Well, listen, man, I don't want to, you know, sit here and talk too much longer, but I am glad that, you know, we was able to see you and kick it with you, man. I haven't seen you in a while, but I'm proud of you. I'm happy mm-hmm. for you. I'm always rooting for you. And, you know, I'm rocking with you forever as family, man. So,
man, I appreciate you, fellas. Whenever I bump into y'all, it's a good thing, because
always
9 times out of 10, we always working or we on our way somewhere. We're at an event. So it's always good to see y'all. That reminds me, though, that I'm working when I see
working.
Y'all.
So. We working, man. We working. I mean, but I'm proud of you. So. And it's good to see you, B.
Man, love. Appreciate y'all boys.
All right, this has been another episode of New Rory and Maul with my guy, my brother, Benny the Butcher. Shout out to Rockstar Energy.
Yes.
And shout out to Rory and the sunlight hitting his face for 10
minutes.
I know,
it's
a
lot. I need sunscreen at this point. Shout out to Culture Lab, Al Branch, Tez, everybody. Thank you.
Yes, sir. This is nice in here. I'm going to throw me some shit in here, man.
Oh, no, this is the spot.
Oh, yeah. Now that I know we got a clubhouse down here, yeah. For
we
sure.
Chilling.
I'll definitely be back down here doing some shit I shouldn't be doing in Al's office. All right, y'all. Peace. No.